This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik Dagir.
Who are you and what do you do?
My name is Rico Andre Griffin II, and what I do is engaging customers, both internal and external, in finding better ways to use technology and to embrace it. So my official title would be a technologist, and then on top of that, I would say that I'm a technology evangelist who's also a senior project manager and program manager, providing those project management services around user adoption for many different clients.
Rico, how are you involved with user adoption?
So being, like as I previously stated, as a project manager, I come in on the user adoption aspect of various projects really from the onset. So when we're getting ready to adopt a new technology, whether or not it's a technology that's being built on-prem with internal software development teams, or we're buying out-of-the-box SaaS or XaaS, various products that are in the cloud, my job is to pretty much drive the whole project from the beginning to the end. So everything from fulfillment and risk assessment and kind of figuring out what tools would best work for the organization to actual deployment and installation if we're having to do like various applications that have to be deployed on a desktop, all the way to active engagement and user adoption via training. And we use a lot of different various tools to do that. So I pretty much am the architect of the user adoption, more from an end user's perspective, but being very clearly clued in and dialed into what the IT project management office and overall goal for the IT departments and the various clients that I've worked for, making sure that their bottom line is also met as well.
Rico, what are the biggest challenges and successes with user adoption?
Let's start with the challenges first. I've had the great fortune of working with a lot of different multinational organizations, business like banks and manufacturing companies. And recently, I'm doing some work for an NGO that has a footprint of over 47 countries around the world. So the biggest challenge there is finding products that work seamlessly in many different countries, many different time zones, with some different cultural norms in each locale. So what may work on the West Coast in California, ironically, may not work well on the East Coast in New York. Or on the other end, if you cross the pond, some of the colloquialisms that work in the United States may not fly in Europe. And then when you get into specific countries in Asia and Africa, there's a lot of different finite nuances. So in doing user adoption, you have to first and foremost be clued into the user. And the user is the most important aspect. So certain things that a lot of IT people who support products don't really look into is, you know, what's people's vacation schedule? What are the holiday schedules within specific countries? What are the cultural things that they celebrate? Because you don't want to do a deployment, let's say, during Ramadan, or, you know, during a major Asian holiday in Malaysia, because you're not going to have any buy-in or tie-in. No one's going to be there. The other things is the sensitivities around certain language that we may use in the United States that could be offensive in other countries. So those are the biggest challenges. The successes, well, let me add another challenge. The other one would be just human nature. A lot of people just don't like to change. Once they get used to using a certain method or a certain application or a certain tool, they want to use it the way that they want to use it because that's what they've been used to doing. Sometimes that may be great. Other times it's not so great because it may not be the most effective way of doing things. My successes would be having to have a great project plan and executing that plan and utilizing all the tools at my disposal to be able to really get great engagement from my users. So the way that how I do that, engage that, is when I get folks in, let's say if I'm doing a dog and pony show or an overall like introduction of a tool, and I see the glassy-eyed look of the audience, and then let's say a month or two later, I really get a lot of emails and feedback and people are excited about using the tool. To me, I consider that to be a success. It's great to deploy an application or a tool or a service, but if you don't really have great buy-in from the end user community, and if you don't have great buy-in from senior stakeholders who either may be a manager of a specific work group, or it could be the CEO of an organization, it's really hard and it's an uphill battle to get people to buy in. But once you do get the proper buy-in, those are amazing successes.
Rico, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
Communicate, communicate, communicate. That's the best advice that I can give. And don't be arrogant in your approach of deploying a service or a product or a tool. Always look at what would be the best benefit for the end user. So there's like threefold. You may have the benefit to the company, which would be like bottom line, and we could save money. So that's always a benefit from kind of the brick and mortar kind of aspect of budget and finance. But how it interfaces with the end user and how they'll actually use it is just as important. If you can have the best tool in the world, but if you don't have people actually using the tool, you're actually wasting money. So the other aspect would be don't overlook training. Sometimes it's a misnomer amongst a lot of IT people, especially those that support end users, to think, well, these end users, you know, they should be up to speed on various products because they've been using, let's say, the predecessor product for years. But as you know, there's been leaps and changes within the last 5 to 6 years with a lot of the major players in the industry who have moved a lot of their products and services to the cloud, i.e. like Office 365 with Microsoft. Those are two totally different products. So Office 2016 and Office 365 are really two different separate products. They interface. There are some commonalities between the tool set, but it's a different way and a different paradigm shift in the way a user is going to use the tools. So you have to be cognizant of providing ample amount of training and support and documentation. So the way that we work now, very few companies are doing like classroom style training. It's just not cost effective in some ways. So they're adopting to go to the web or putting things in like video libraries online or if they have an internet site. And that's fine and dandy, but if you don't have it packaged in a way that it's, one, usable, relatable, and understandable, you're still going to get the glossy-eyed look from a lot of the end users, and people get frustrated really quickly. So just be cognizant of tailoring your message to the end user and speaking in plain speak so that they understand. And then having ample buy-in on the IT support side so that they understand what the end user's needs are and then are able to remedy any issues that come up in the future.
Rico, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
So I am actually in the process of documenting my experiences over the last 10 years into a blog, which may turn out to be like a book. So I'm in the early stages of putting that together. What I've been doing with a lot of my organizations is I create kind of a catalog and a warehouse of data around specific products that I've supported. So I've supported everything from tools like Confluence and Jira to Office 365 in the cloud, of course, and then some other kind of proprietary softwares that were specific and germane to the individual clients that I was supporting. So just taking all that knowledge base that I've gathered over the years and that I've been thankfully gainfully employed, and a lot of organizations have asked me to come on board to help them with their conversion to various different products or moving things to the cloud, or if they just needed some training help. So I'm going to put that and package that into a specific book. Where people can reach me now, they can reach me on my LinkedIn page. I will be having a podcast coming out soon as well. I'm a nerd and a geek at heart, so a lot of my other fun things I like to do, like video production and music production, everything that's still computerized. There'll be more to be coming soon. I can definitely be reached via email at ricogriffin@gmail.com. Rico, RECOGRIFFIN, all one word, @gmail.com. On my LinkedIn page, I'm also Rico Griffin. I don't have the exact URL, but you can do a search for me in LinkedIn. And those are going to be the two best places to find me.
Well, thanks, Rico.
You're welcome.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.